You're listening to Strictly Business Podcast with Lindsay Williams.
The JSE has closed its doors for another day, so it's time for the 5 o'clock shadow. And tonight I'm speaking to Skulk Lowe, who's a portfolio manager at PSG Wealth in the Western Cape of the Republic of South Africa. And everyone's waiting for the Fed. Ahead of the Fed, what do you feel?
Oh, it's a interesting one. And you can see that the market is fairly unchanged as well. So, but despite Nasdaq that is down 1% again. But I mean, look at the S&P 500. I don't know.
S&P's down half a percent or so on the futures anyway. So there's a little bit of nervousness going in there. And if I can interrupt you now, the US 10-year bond is at 1.67%, which is a 13-month high for the yield and low for the bond market. So maybe people getting slightly ahead of themselves. I hope they're not disappointed.
I really hope they're not. But we'll know a little bit more tomorrow morning, and hopefully the guidance will be there. But I mean, I think currently looking at the 10-year yield, the pressure is still upward. As you can see, markets are acting not too positive, you know, today. So let's see what happens and what's the feedback later today.
And see what the feedback was from the South African trading day, because we had results out from a bank by the name of Ned Bank. Now, what is your attitude towards the banks in general, and also specifically Ned Bank? Because their results, I thought, were, I don't know, I just can't get excited about Ned Bank.
No, I mean, neither. Firstly, this is not our preferred banking entry in our portfolios, as mentioned last week.
Yes.
It still remains Standard Bank and First Rand. But it's not good. It's not bad. I didn't get a feeling, you know, after reading through the results, you know, this is the clear guidance. This is where we're going. Despite the fact that I do think that there's this opportunity in banks globally, I think this is an environment that is in my view in deepish value territory. Most of these banks, reading through the results, I didn't get the feeling that they're standing out from, you know, the other banks, the likes of that Standard Bank, First Rand, Capitec, Absa, got a similar feeling. I don't know. I mean, I think the market sort of gave us a bit of an answer. The share price reacted, 2.1%, clearly giving us, because remember, they've guided. I mean, this is yes, not news. Also, you know, another bank that actually came out, you know, banks, I think First Rand came out and they've now switched on their dividends. Nedbank, not in the position yet. They're declared no ordinary dividend for the period, which is never a good thing. I mean, I think this is what investors want to start seeing. They want to start seeing at least the money that they're building up, that they actually start paying back. They're not doing this yet, so I think I'll wait another 6 months before I really put this on the radar. But for now, I will stay with my.
Okay, so you're leaving Nedbank alone at the moment, but you are not just sitting on the fence. You're watching closely. Now, one of the things that they said in their preamble was, you know, we want to give people a great experience. And as I said to another commentator, I thought, you know, as I said, it's not a theme park. You know, this is not Disneyland. I'm opening a bank account. Just make it easy for me. And what do I press here? And what do I do there? And can I have it on my smartphone, etc.? If you were somebody that came to South Africa for the first time and you had the choice of five banks, you had the choice of Capitec, Nedbank, Absa, Standard Bank, First Rand via FNB, and you know what you know now, which one would you go for? Because it's all about people. And let's have a look. And it's all about marketing and advertising as well. Which is the one that's the most enticing for you for that so-called banking experience, which I hate. I can't believe I've just said that. Go on.
Yeah, that's it. Let's firstly start. I think that the best banking experience you can get from a bank is no experience. I just want no experience. I want to if I do banking, I want to, it should be finished 2 minutes ago. That's the best banking experience. So don't give me a good banking experience. Give me no experience. Yeah, I think it's a bit of an unfair question, but an unfair answer for me because, you know, naturally, you know, where I bank, that's the tools that I'm used to use and naturally, you know, to say, well, they're the best. I mean, that's just not fair.
Simplicity, in other words, that's what you want. Simplicity and the same rates as every other bank.
The reason why I haven't moved my banking is because the bank that I do bank with is simplistic, like you said. It's a system that's consistent. They don't change it a lot, and the improvements they do make they make life easier for me. So yeah, again, I don't know what other banks look like. I like the way that my banking app works.
Very good. In that case, that's the perfect thing. And if they charge you just slightly more for any transaction from an ATM or something like that, then you put up with that because, firstly, you're getting a little bit older than you were. And also there's a certain amount of inertia, but you're familiar with it. And if you have to change banks now, there are so many forms you have to fill in order to do so. So I'll stay with the worst bank as long as I don't have to fill in those forms.
No, I hate admin, and I'm very shy to show because I think what's the saying that I always gave my kids? You know, do what I say, don't do what I do.
Yes.
Now, you know, I always tell people, make sure that you when you do a budget, make sure that, you know, especially you look at expenses, make sure that you still, you know what you're paying for, and you know, go and negotiate that. Now go and say, well, if your bank is you know, overpriced, you know, change your banking. If your investment products are, you know, overly priced compared to, you know, market norm, go and change it. That's
yes.
Unfortunately, I'm a little bit different there. I love the way things work, but yeah, I think back to NetBank. I think in general, I didn't get a warm, fuzzy feeling, you know, after in. You know, a lot of the companies did come out lately. We know we've been in a horrible pandemic environment, but I didn't get that feeling that they're back on track and there we go, we're going to take over the world now. Not there yet.
No, of course, if they were in that mood, they would have paid a dividend, which they haven't done, of course, like Absa didn't. Okay, let's move on now to Remgro. Is Remgro part of your portfolio? They came out with a trading statement.
Definitely, yeah. So I think the two things that stood out today was again two holding companies, and we're starting off with Remgro, and I'm going to end off talking about the one that haven't been discussed or having a trading update or results or sense announcement, namely NASPAS. But we'll leave the best for last. Remgro, you know, I've been having this conversation, you know, for quite some time. This is a company that I do like. And purely because of the margin of safety a certain company, you know, provides. Naturally, equities usually are high-risk investments. So when I try and identify companies that I invest my clients in, I like to try and mitigate those risks by finding a margin of safety. Now, for a holding company like Remgro, and for those who don't know, you know, Remgro, you know, and what it consists of, the biggest portion of Remgro is basically MediClinic. So it's a holding company. It holds, you know, different companies within the company. And when we look at, you know, the makeup currently of it, it's round about, let's call it 60, let's round it up, 65% of Remgro is consisting of other listed entities. Biggest portion is MediClinic, as I mentioned. That makes up about 21% of the company. Second biggest, and that's one we're also going to chat about just afterwards because they also reported,
yes,
that is Rand Merchant Investments, or RMI as it better known. That makes about 15% of the company. Then RCR Food, 6.4%. Distell, which we've chatted about quite a few times lately, 8%. First Rand, another bank, you know, 12% of the company, then Grindrod, and then there's a lot of unlisted investments. Now, why did I last time said, why do I like this company? Because when you look at a company like Remgro and you look at the historic discount to these sum of the parts, as they mentioned it, or the intrinsic value, a company like Remgro, since March 2010. So we were talking about an 11-year period. It's been trading at an average discount to this underlying investment of 15.7. Let's again round it up, about 16% discount, which is also, you know, a lot of investment specialists would tell you around about a 15% discount is the historic norm for a holding company. Now, let's go to end of last year. I on the show said, well, why do I like Remgro? And the main reason was this discount shot up from the, let's call it 15% levels, to on that stage over 45%. That's a massive,
extraordinary. It's almost unheard of, actually.
Exactly. So in this, what I actually like is they're actually now starting to mention this because in the trading update, they actually mentioned the discount. They actually said, well, when we look at June last year, that was, it went up to 35.3%. September last year, it was 43%. And then when you and I chatted, that was around about, I think, October, November, that would shot up to 45%. Now, all the listeners out there, they've seen what the share price done since then. I think the share price recovered from around about 85 Rand levels now to between 100 and 110 Rand levels.
Yeah.
Yet the discount as we currently speak with today's, you know, close is still an enormous 41%, or to be exactly 40.6%.
There's got to be an opportunity there, and I never understand how you take advantage of the opportunity. But Skalka, go on, please.
Yeah. So I mean, we've also chatted about another theme lately in the world, which is the value theme. So we've seen the entities like the MSCI World Value Index lately outperforming the MSCI All Country Index. And a lot of people say, it might just be an interim thing. I'm not going to make that bet. If you're of the opinion that the value companies will continue to do better than their growth counterparts, then these type of companies, the Remgros, the Raynets, these type of companies suddenly just hits my radar, because that is value. You know, when you can buy something at a discount, at a big discount, we're talking about a 41% discount, suddenly this is value. And somewhere along the line, that will hit the radar of some of these bigger institutional value investors. So, yeah, I do like Remgro a lot. I think I like the portfolio as well. It's a well diversified portfolio between healthcare. You know, when we're talking about MediClinic, we've got food in it. We've got a lot of financials, not as much financials as previously, but still nice, well diversified holding company. Bring me to the second one. One of the holdings, as I mentioned, in Remgro is RMI.
Let's not go on to RMI now, because our time is quite short. You talked about another company which is massive. RMI, I'm sorry, insurance companies, they just don't do it for me, Skalk. Certainly not on a Wednesday night.
So let's move on.
Let's move on to that. But I understand. And when we have maybe tomorrow morning when we're on the opening, you can talk about that. You mentioned Naspers. Why did you mention Naspers in the same breath as Remgro? Please tell me why.
Oh, this is a big one. So this is one I think the listeners out there is not really getting a hold of yet. I mean this another one that we've actually been talking about quite a bit, and I'm not going to go too deeply into this again, because this is again a discount that has become massive.
Yes.
Remember, Naspers, they hold Prosus, which basically the main entity within Prosus is Tencent. So we know that. We're not going to look at it again. I am going to mention again that the discount, and remember the reason why they actually spinned Prosus out of Naspers originally is because they felt that they want to start unlocking value. Now, on that stage, when they wanted to unlock value or unlocked Prosus, they were trading around about a 30% discount to NAV, which we already now said is big, because anything more than 15% is big.
Right. That NAV being net asset value, just for people that are listening for the first time, net asset value. Anyway, go on.
So that net asset value currently, or discount to net asset value for Naspers, as we currently stand with today's close, is currently trading at 53%. That's on Naspers alone. Now, why am I mentioning this? So
carry on.
Let's We're going to turn the clock back. We're going to turn the clock back to March 2018, and to be precise, the 22nd of March 2018.
Okay.
On that day,
almost three years ago. Yes. Okay. Go on.
That's it. They surprised the market by suddenly announcing that they sold 190 million, or, you know, to put this in percentages, they sold 2% of Tencent.
Yes.
They're holding 190 million shares of Tencent shares. They sold that. But when you look at that sense announcement or that announcement, they mentioned another thing in there. They mentioned that they sold this and now will not be selling any more Tencent for a period of, drum roll, 3 years.
Ah.
So I went and had a look. That's it. I went and have a look at the actual agreement there, and that was agreement. That was not just we like Tencent, so we won't sell it. It was an actual agreement that they will not. They agreed with Tencent that they can sell these, you know, this 2% in the company, but they may not do that for a period of 3 years. Now that 3 years, according to the first note, is done by Monday. All this over. Coming Monday.
Goodness me.
So I think this – I mean, we know that the company are highly focused. Bob van Dijk and Steven Process and also Naspers. I mean, the Naspers team is also extremely focused on trying to unlock value for shareholders. And I do think – I mean, there's a lot of guessing. But what can effectively happen? You know, what I do think can possibly happen is that we, in the next few weeks again – yeah, that they might be looking to sell some more Tencent, and then with the current
especially, sorry to interrupt, as the Chinese authorities are starting to look at these companies that are making such vast amounts of money and saying, well, actually, maybe you're becoming a little bit too powerful, so we're going to rein you in a little bit. I mean, that's obviously populist media stuff, but it might be a factor.
Yes. It would definitely be a factor. I mean, you won't be managing a company looking at this as not a possible, you know, threat or risk. So, you know, how do you manage this risk? You know, and how do you unlock value at the same time? And that is by, you know, looking to see if we maybe can offload some of those risk, aka sell some more shares. And if I was running a company that's currently trading at a 53% discount, the first thing that I would do is I would buy my own shares. So I think, you know, watch this space. I think when we look at the Tencent announcement lately and the authorities around that, I am somewhat worried. I do think that investors locally especially should be cautious when they look at a Naspers or Prosus, because this company has been it's done phenomenal for the group, and I'm not disregarding the future of the company. I am worried that the size or the magnitude of Tencent within the Naspers or Prosus could be a risk for investors. But again, I think just watch the space for the next few weeks. I do think, and again, I know nothing. I just look at this contract 3 years ago, and I look at it. Let's see. I think we'll start hearing some murmurs soon.
You're a modest, self-deprecating person, because you know a lot more than most people do. No one's ever mentioned this to me. Okay, let's have a look at some spot prices now, if we can. Skunk low. I'll just refresh my screen at the moment. But I do know that the US 10-year Treasury yield is at a 14-month high now, 1.69%. That's a 4% increase in the price of money, which is not incredible, but it's certainly worthy of note. Let's have a look at the currencies markets, because the dollar rand is 14.91. The British pound against the rand is 2068, and the euro rand is 17.75, with the euro dollar 119.05. And the cable, as they call it, British pound against the US dollar, is 138.70. Gold price is up just very slightly at 17.28. Platinum is down $16 an ounce to 11.97. Where's palladium, please, Skulk?
Palladium is like platinum is below the $1,200 mark again, but palladium went above the $2,500 mark, currently trading at $2,511.
Okay, let's have a look at the oil price as we continue the commodity theme. And oil price It's been all over the place recently. Why doesn't my screen want to do that? Oh, here it goes. It's just charging itself up now while it's waiting. There we go. West Texas crude is down 1.3% to $63.92, and Brent crude oil is down 1.3% as well to $67.48 per barrel. Give me Bitcoin if you've got it.
Oh, that's barely unchanged. It's only down 3% for today, currently trading at $54,900.
Yeah, exactly. It's very funny when you say it's barely changed today, only down 3%, because normally it's up 10% or down 12% or something like that over a couple of day period. Yeah, it's very interesting. Okay, let's have a look at some of the movers on the JSE Securities Exchange today, because it's been an interesting day ahead of the Fed. Obviously, tomorrow morning when we speak on the opening, it's going to be an incredibly interesting day. I'll be very, given what's happening on the currencies markets and also the bond markets, it'll be a lot to talk about tomorrow, so maybe we start a bit early. Anyway, on the upside on the JSE today, ShopRite, after its results this week, 3.5% higher, Supergroup up 3.2%, Pick and Pay following on the coattails of ShopRite up 3.2%, Netcare down, up 2.6%, British American Tobacco up 2.3%. On the downside, Hammerson is either up or it's down, whatever. It's down 7% today. Sibanye-Stillwater down 5.25%, losing some of its luster recently. Impala Platinum down 5.2% as well. RMI, you wanted to talk about that, but I didn't, so bad luck. Down 4.5%. And Nepi Rockcastle down 4.25%. Any other shares that caught your eye today?
So just on that matter, just three of the shares that you just mentioned, this ex-div today. So Impala Platinum, they kicked off a 10 rand dividend. So they ex-div today. Sibanye-Stillwater, they kicked off a 3 rand 21 dividend. And Nepi Rockcastle, they dropped a 3 rand 10 dividend. Any other shares that I looked at? As we mentioned, we haven't chatted about Lipstar. But, I mean, just I mentioned that Lipstar also came out with results, and they up 5.22% for today. And my good old faithful, trusty Udeco up 5.4% for today. So very happy with that.
Okay. Give me the closing indexes on the JSE Securities Exchange on this Wednesday ahead of the Fed, if you would, please. Skunk low.
So the market had a nice little pullback. Was weakish this morning, but really, you know, accelerated the losses later today. Ended down 1.2% at 66,495. Resource index was hit the hardest. They down 2.4%. Industrials, they down 0.34%, and the financials, they were down 1.7%. Even the SA property stocks were under pressure. They were down 2%. And when we look at the value trade, not a bad day. Value traded on the market was just over 22 billion value traded for today. So not a bad day in the stock market.
Yeah, I wonder what we'll be opening with tomorrow morning. Wonder what we'll be chatting about tomorrow morning, Scalc. Whatever it is, it's going to be fascinating. Maybe it'll be a damp squib, but I've got a feeling it's not going to be a damp squib, given the fact that let me just give you the latest on the S&P futures. S&P futures down 0.4%, and the US 10-year Treasury bond is currently trading, new 13-month high, 1.681%. Somebody either thinks they know something or do know something. Skulk Lowe is a portfolio manager at PSG Wealth in the Western Cape, and that was the 5 o'clock shadow. Skulk will be back with me tomorrow morning for the opening. The views and opinions expressed in these podcasts are those of Lindsay Williams and various contributors and do not reflect the policy, position, or opinion of any other agency, organization, employer, or company associated with strictlybusinesspodcast.com. Assumptions made on the analyses are not reflective of the position of any other entity other than the speaker or the author. And since we are critically thinking human beings, these views are always subject to change, revision, and rethinking at any time. Please do not hold us to them in perpetuity.